This is Fresh Air. Comedy was the family business when Ben Stiller was growing up. His parents are the comedy team of Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira. Ben Stiller has his own comedy show on Fox, and I spoke to him right before its premiere in September. The show has lampooned MTV, pretentious rock stars, movies, television, commercials, and confessional video journals. In one sketch, Ben Stiller played a Hollywood agent trying to convince his clients, like Roseanne and Tom Arnold and Gary Shandling, to make disease movies.
Let's get serious. Come on, you guys are too good for comedy. I mean, let's do a disease, all right? Tom, you get sick. Rosie, you come and take care of him. Rosie, you get sick. Tom takes care of you. I mean, I don't care. It works both ways. You both get sick, you die, you fall in love, whatever, right? You're the creative ones. You can figure it out.
We're beginning to feel like maybe you're not the right agent for us.
What? This is a bit, right? Doing a thing? I love it. All right, keep going. Come on.
You haven't done crap for us.
All right. Where's the punch? Oh, come on, Rosie. Come on. What do you want? You're number one. Where else can we go?
The show was number one when we hired you.
Whew. This weight loss thing is really playing with your heads, guys. I mean, really. Is this the Slim Shake talking? Because if it is, let's go across the street, let's get a cheeseburger, fries, fried chicken, load it up and eat it, because nothing is worth this, all right? Let's face it. The diet is killing your careers. Fat is funny. You go back in time, Greeks, Romans, in the tub, rub-a-dub-lub, three men having fun.
Is this based on an agent that you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, he's my my ex-agent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's, yeah. In 5 years, I had him. And, he wasn't a bad guy. He actually worked really, really hard for me. And this is how I pay him back.
So is this why he's your ex-agent?
Yeah, it is. Gosh, he threatened to sue me. Actually, he made me if I made the name too similar to his. But yeah, you know, all agents have a certain amount of I don't know what it is, like a kind of a bull factor, I guess. They're always kind of blowing smoke at you, and they talk in circles. And that's, this guy kind of just talks around and around. He'll be pitching horrible ideas. You know, you should do a sitcom. You know, you could be doing a thing with Bea Arthur. You know, it's you and her, and she's, you know, she lives next door, and she's gruff, and you're, you know, you're crazy, but you know, you like her, but you don't like her, and then all of a sudden something happens. You teach each other how to love. It's beautiful, you know? And, you know, you just kind of, you always deal in concepts, you know?
Did you ever try to go along with him on one of these ideas and really get your hopes up that you were going to do this sitcom with Bea Arthur and teach each other how to love?
Yeah, for 5 years. I was... He's calling me up with these ideas. And then when I started directing, he would like call me up with these just things that he'd never, totally untrue. He'd be like, you want to direct, he goes, you want to direct Ice Cube's new video? I go, I don't know. You know, I'm like a Jewish kid from New York. You really think he wants me? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, well, I'll talk to him about it. You know, the only thing is you got to go to Compton every day, but you could deal with that, right? Meanwhile, he's never even, you know, he never even talked to him. He'd always be throwing out stuff like that. So you know, you learn to kind of not take it too seriously after a while and just kind of take notes so that you can use it down the line on your own show, hopefully, you know?
You
can do something productive with it.
Is it hard to break up with an agent? Did you feel very guilty about it?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's really hard because you do develop a close relationship because, you know, an agent has your career in his hands and actors are really insecure and you're kind of always, you know, he's your link to the outside world. He's going to be taking all the offers or auditions that you go on. He gets the feedback and he tells you and he has to kind of sift it through to you without, you know, kind of dealing with that fragile ego that actors have. So he's your link. And if, you know, you develop a bond with him in some way because it's kind of like this codependent relationship that develops, you know, where you really need to, you need the approval and, So when it finally comes time to change, it's like breaking up with a girlfriend or something like that because, you know, there are always aspects that you really like about the person, but you also know that you have to move on. So it's not easy.
It sounds like there should be special agents whose job it is to represent you when you're breaking up with your own agent. So, because this is the one place where you've got nobody to represent you.
That's what your manager is for.
Oh, I see.
They deal with your agent.
Okay.
They tell you.
My guest is Ben Stiller. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. We're back with comedian Ben Stiller. Your parents are Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira.
No, that's not them. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yes.
That's another Stiller.
Right.
No, I'm sorry.
So were there lots of showbiz people around the house when you were growing up?
Yeah, there were. It was kind of, it was a crazy, crazy household. It was Rodney Dangerfield would come over for Thanksgiving. Andy Kaufman came over and have chocolate milk at Passover. Weird things.
When you were growing up, were your parents in the kitchen working out routines?
And yeah, they were in the living room, actually. They were they had an office in the living room, and they would close the door, and we would hear them working on their routines. It was, and my dad had this reel-to-reel tape recorder, I remember, which I remember just, I used to love gadgets and stuff, and I just thought he had this great reel-to-reel tape recorder, and I was about 7 or 8, and all I could think of was, when my parents die, I'm going to inherit this tape recorder. That was all I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
What were you going to do with it?
I was going to make my own tapes and, you know, probably, like, record soundtracks to movies, you know, because I made Super 8 films, and I was, so they would go in there, and they would work on their stuff, and, you know, they'd take us on the road with them when they would go and do Las Vegas or go out to California.
Oh, boy, share with us a memory of being on the road with your parents when they were doing Las Vegas.
Okay, let's see. Well, there was, we spent a lot of time in motels, and I remember my folks, they worked with people like Lola Falana, and, you know, they were, you know, they had their brushes with like Frank Sinatra and people like that. I never met him, but, there was also a lot of time hanging out on sets. Like, my parents took us on the Partridge Family set in California, and,
Now, was that a thrill, or did you think, oh, this is, what an absurd show?
No. I was totally into it, you know? I mean, I thought this is, you know, so cool. Danny Bonaducci was, like, kind of flirting with my sister, which is funny now in retrospect. But, my parents did The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember Brandon Cruz, who was Eddie on the show, came up to me, and we were about the same age, and I had this candy bar, and he just knocked it out of my hand. Like in this kind of show of his power on the set to kind of just establish who was the boss on the set. And then he walked away from me. I'll never forget that one.
How did you feel?
I felt small. I was just kind of shocked, I think. You know, I didn't know, you know, who this guy was. But, you know, that was kind of tempered by Bobby Brady waving to me from the stagecoach when they were doing the Grand Canyon episode. You know, so, I mean, and that's real. I mean, that's true. So,
making you feel like you were really somebody.
That's right. It kind of brought me back up again.
So did your friends' parents work in show business too?
I had some friends whose parents were in show business. But, you know, we grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and it was, it's not like a typical environment. It's not like suburbia, and it's not middle America at all. And I think, you know, I never really knew what a normal environment was like. I thought when I finally kind of got out of New York a little bit, I was kind of fascinated by the suburbs. I went to do a movie like 5 years ago in Cincinnati, and I just thought it was the most amazing place in the world, because it was like, here are all these like houses that I'd seen in commercials, you know. I met this girl. I started going out with this girl there, and I think I was more into her family, which, you know, they had a dog, and she had a little brother, and her father was like Mr. All-American. He'd been in the Air Force, and he played football, and they, you know, it just was like, this is, wow, this is America. And I felt like kind of this like little spy, and, you know, kind of seeing what the rest of the country lived like. So it was really an interesting experience for me. So, but it kind of wore off after a while.
When there were showbiz people around the house, would you feel comfortable talking with them?
It was, I guess so. I mean, I didn't really consider them showbiz people, though. You know, it was more like they were just my parents' friends. You know, uh-huh. Those were the people who they hung out with and who were, and we were around the theater a lot, and we were, you know, that was just kind of our life. So it wasn't like, you know, I remember when my dad did this play Hurly Burly a few years back. I was about, I think, 17 or 18, and that had, like, this cast, like, William Hurt and Sigourney Weaver and Judith Ivey and just, like, you know, Ron Silver, Harvey Keitel. It was just this great cast, and I remember hanging out, you know, at that point we were older, but these were, like, people who were more from, like, you know, movie stars from my generation, you know, who my dad was working with,
mm-hmm.
And it was very kind of exciting for my sister and I at that point because we were kind of young and we were just getting into the business, and you know, to be hanging out with William Hurt, I was like, you know, a big Altered States fan, and my dad like invited him up to our country house, and he went fishing with him. So I'm like fishing with William Hurt, and he's really, you are unique. And he's telling me that.
He's telling you, you're
he was telling
unique.
Me, he was telling me, yeah, he was really intense. He would just get really intense. The fish aren't biting. And he would just get very intense about whatever he talked about. And so I was just freaking out. I was having a great time. You know, this is so cool.
What were your early stabs of becoming a performer?
I always wanted to make films. That's what I always wanted to do since I was like, you know, 11 or 12. And
yeah, you said you had a Super 8. What did you do with that?
Oh, I made all sorts of mainly murder movies.
Uh-huh.
They called it Murder, I think was the first one. Murder in the Park. We did Airport 75, I remember, where I turned the foyer into an airplane, and then I took a model of a 747 and stuck some matches in the cockpit and lit them, and then put the airplane up to the window and filmed it. And then I took the same airplane and I had this diorama that I built for my train set with mountains, and I crashed the airplane into the side of the mountain and burned my whole train set. So I make a lot of those films. I always like experimenting with special effects and stuff like that. And then, as I got older, I thought, okay, I'm going to be an actor first and then go into filmmaking that way. For some reason, I guess I just wanted to perform also. So, and I thought I was going to be a serious actor for a long time. Like when I was about 18, I thought, you know, cause I grew up with comedy, I was kind of rebelling against the whole thing. And, so I said, I'm going to be serious, you know, and that, what happened was somehow it just it came out. The other stuff started to come out. I started to I got a job doing this play, House of Blue Leaves, and while we were doing that, it was a long run. We ran at Lincoln Center for about a year, and then we moved theaters in the middle. But it was a long run. Everybody got to know each other very well, and I had this home video camera, so I started making little documentaries and behind the scenes. Shorts about, you know, the cast. And we did this one about John Mahoney, who you said you had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, we called it Portrait of the Artist as an Old Man. And it was just kind of this seedy look at his backstage life, where he was kind of this alcoholic, womanizing lech. And we did interviews with everybody in the cast, like Danny Aiello and Julie Haggerty and Susie Kurtz, everybody talking about how John was, you know, he's just like the, you know, this horrible guy. And then, I mean, I even got John to lay down in the gutter with a wino bag underneath his poster for saying Tony Award winning House of Blue Leaves. It's the funniest shot, and he was great. And so that to me, and then I showed that at a New Year's Eve party for the whole cast, and everybody laughed, and it was, of course, it was a really friendly you know, audience. But that kind of made me think, hey, I could do this. This could be really fun. And then from that, I started making some more short films, and I did a takeoff on The Color of Money. That was about bowling instead of pool when that movie came out. And I sold that to Saturday Night Live, and that was really encouraging. And then that just kind of started the ball rolling, you know, I just said, okay, I'm going to go for it and, you know, do this type of thing.
So now that you have a TV show, when you watch TV, do you see it differently? You know, because as someone who's watched TV a lot mm-hmm. all of his life?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, what I see is just it's really tough to put out a half hour of comedy that you believe in. You know, you think is really funny every week. You have so much to film in such a short amount of time. You're always working against the clock and budget constraints. So it's not easy. You know, what's tough too is getting on the air. I don't think people understand how tough it is to actually get to a show that's picked up for a series. Like, you know, we developed this show for a couple of years, and you know, the networks are just, you know, they make a lot of decisions based on demographics and focus groups and all these, you know, factors. And there are so many pilots that are made. And you know, a lot of them stink. And, you know, but there are a lot of good ones, too, I think, that get made and then don't get picked up. So I feel really lucky that we even got to this point where we're on the air.
Are you a survivor of focus groups?
Oh, I went to the focus group for my own show. It was like this surreal high school nightmare to stand behind a two-way mirror and watch people talk about you for 4 hours and criticize you. And all they do is
ask... And who are they?
Who are they? Yeah, well, who are they? That's, you know what? It was the strangest amalgam of, like, you know who they are? They're people, they go to a mall and they say, do you like Herman's Head? And if they say yes, and they say, do you want $35 and a free sandwich? Then that's the criteria. That's it. And then they come up to the room, and then they judge, you know, and they pass judgment, which the network takes very seriously on what you've been working on. You know, you've been, you know, putting your whole life into it. And then these people come in, and you're in the middle. It's in the middle of, you know, your big piece on the show, and they're like going over to try to get another carrot stick, you know, and they think, no, just watch it. And they're all different funny types in there, and just they all claim that they don't know anything about. You know, about show business. So they're all like, well, you know, one guy's a mechanic, but then he's saying, you know, I think the protagonist was rather weak in the first act. And they have all got screenplays. You know, it's because they did ours outside of Los Angeles. So it was, it was pretty wild to sit through that. After that, I thought I could, you know, I feel like I could deal with anything.
Ben Stiller. His program airs Sunday evenings on Fox, but as of today, it's definitely scheduled only through next week. This is Fresh Air.